Beloved congregation, without a doubt, the ugliest word in the English language is the word sin. Three letters, but the ugliest word there is, because of what it stands for. Because the reality of sin is what dominates the existence of this world. Everything that's going on is related to sin. But next to the word sin is the word death. It is a word that naturally inspires fear. And contrary to what some would have us believe, there's nothing natural about death. This world is a world filled with death as a direct consequence of sin. Death, which is God's divine judgment upon a fallen human race. So in that sense, we can say that we all live in the shadow of death. Death casts its shadow over every aspect of life. Death casts its shadow over every family. Death is an inescapable reality. It follows us everywhere. Time and again, day after day, in one way or the other, we are reminded that death is inescapable. We live in the shadow of death. And at any given moment, death can overtake us. And yet what an extraordinary blessing it is, if by the grace of God, death will no longer destroy us. When by the grace of God, death will mean for us a transition into everlasting glory. When death brings us into the presence of Christ Himself. This is true, as you know, for every true believer. And yet, even for God's children, death is the final enemy. Even believers, when they think about the inescapable moment that is coming for all of us, that we too will breathe our last breath, can cause us to tremble. And what a tremendous comfort it therefore is to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, He will shepherd us even until death. He will shepherd us every step of the way, even when at last we too must go through the valley of the shadow of death and deal with death itself. And that's why the fourth verse of Psalm 23 has been so precious to the people of God throughout the ages. Millions of believers have died with those precious words on their lips. And yet when David penned these words, he wasn't just thinking about death. That's why he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And with God's help, we will focus on the fourth verse of Psalm 23. And we will see that in that verse, David expresses his confidence in Jehovah, his shepherd. So far, in the first three verses, he describes the shepherd, who he is. He is a shepherd, he cares for him, he makes him lie down in green pastures, he leads him beside still waters, he restores his soul, he leads him in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then there comes a remarkable shift. Because in the rest of the psalm, it is as if David now is communing directly with his shepherd. And so we know, he says, it is as if you hear him speak to the shepherd directly. Thou, he says, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. And so he expresses in this fourth verse his confidence in his shepherd. First of all, a confidence that is inspired by Jehovah's leadership. Because in the previous verse, he has just confessed that he leads us in the paths of righteousness. And that includes, at times in the lives of believers, that includes that path of righteousness that leads through the valley of the shadow of death. So he expresses his confidence in Jehovah's leadership. Secondly, it is a confidence that is rooted in Jehovah's presence. I will fear no evil. There you have his confidence. And why? For thou art with me. So a confidence rooted in Jehovah's presence. And thirdly, a confidence that is bolstered by Jehovah's protection. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So David's confidence in Jehovah his shepherd, inspired by Jehovah's leadership, rooted in Jehovah's presence, and bolstered by Jehovah's protection. So what did David have in mind when he speaks here of the valley of the shadow of death? Well, during the annual cycle, there would come a time in the spring that the shepherd would lead his flock to higher grazing grounds. He would lead them to the higher grazing grounds because in the summer, that's where the best grass would be found. So, in the summer especially, those higher grazing grounds, high in the mountains, would literally be the very best place for the sheep. And as we've pointed out to you, congregation, this shepherd, a shepherd in Israel, was always a step ahead. He was always preoccupied with the need of his sheep. Always thinking ahead about seeing to it that his sheep would be fed, and seeing to it that his sheep would find proper places where they could drink. And a good shepherd in Israel knew that during the summer months, the best place for the sheep to be would be on those higher grazing grounds. However, to get there, to get to those grazing grounds, the shepherd would have to lead his sheep through valleys. Valleys that would lead through the wilderness and that would ultimately bring them to those grazing grounds. And that valley was known as the valley of the shadow of death. And congregation, this spring, I saw the valley of the shadow of death. And I now understand as never before why it is called the valley of the shadow of death. What a forsaken and what a foreboding area it is. It is an area that in many ways is so hostile to the sheep. It is a dangerous place. It is a place where enemies lurk. It is a favorite place for animals of prey to pounce upon unsuspecting sheep. So for a shepherd to lead his flock through that valley was an experience that was fraught with danger. And yet, the shepherd led them through that valley. And the reason he led them through that valley, because he knew there was no other way for his sheep to benefit from those rich pastures that were up in the mountains, except to lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, one of those paths of righteousness that David speaks about in verse 3, one of those paths of righteousness was the pathway that would lead through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet, congregation, there was no time in the annual cycle in which the shepherd was more committed to his sheep than at that time. There was no time when that shepherd was more engaged and more alert to the needs of his sheep as at that time. He knew if there was ever a time that his sheep needed him, if there was ever a time that his sheep depended on him, if there was ever a time that the life of that sheep depended on the shepherd, he knew it was at that time. And so it was a time when that shepherd would be fully engaged. But a good sheep would know, especially the more experienced sheep, who had made that journey a number of times. They had such confidence in their shepherd that they trusted their shepherd. They knew their shepherd would bring them through. They knew their shepherd would lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's why, in the first place, this is a picture of those valleys through which, at times, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is pleased to lead his sheep. Valleys of difficulty, valleys of trial, valleys of perplexing providences, valleys that are filled with spiritual danger, valleys in which it can be so dark that at times when the sheep would go through that valley, they couldn't see the shepherd. But he was there. And yet he was leading them through that valley. And congregation, we know that there are times in the lives of God's people that God leads them not only to the still waters, but that he will lead them through such valleys of difficulty, such valleys of trial. And why? Because his ultimate objective is to lead us to higher ground. His ultimate goal is to lead us to the richest pastures that are available. And so you see, the shepherd knew, especially in that environment, that congregation, you have to be there to see it, to see and to realize how very much those flocks depend on their shepherd. And this shepherd knew that for the long-term benefit of his sheep, for the long-term well-being of those sheep, that he had to lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, dear believer, your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is also ever thinking about your long-term spiritual benefit. And as your shepherd, he knows that there are certain things that you are only going to learn when he leads you through that valley. There are things that you learn in those valleys of difficulty, in those valleys of trial, in those storms of life that you cannot learn in any other way except when you go through that valley. And you know what David, when he looked back on his life, he realized how faithful a shepherd Jehovah had been towards him. He too had been through many difficult valleys, especially those 16 years that he was chased by Saul. What a perplexing time it was for David. But the Lord brought him through. And David had such confidence in his shepherd that what he is saying in this verse He is simply saying, no matter what befalls me, no matter what overcomes me, no matter what circumstances I will ever face, no matter what trials I have to deal with, this one thing I know, that no matter what happens to me, I do not have to fear evil. Because the Lord is my shepherd, even when I have to deal with the most unsettling and with the most difficult of all circumstances. And dear believer, when you look back in your life, tell me, is it not so? Have you not found this to be true? Have you not experienced in one way or another that though you had to go through difficult times, your shepherd did not fail you? And you see, that gives us confidence for the future. We do not know where He will lead us next. We do not know what He will do in order to promote our spiritual well-being. We don't know what circumstances He will allow to come upon us in order to bring us to those higher grazing grounds where we can nourish our souls. We don't know what He will do to promote our spiritual growth. But one thing is for sure. When we do go through those valleys, He will be with us, even when that final valley comes, that final valley, when we are led, and when we come face to face with death itself, then, as I said earlier, then our shepherd will also be there. Then our shepherd will lead us to the everlasting pastures of heaven itself. If you notice, when we read from Ezekiel 34, God Himself was making an allusion to those grazing grounds. In verse 14 of chapter 34, this is what He says. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold. And in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And the ultimate pasture that awaits the people of God, the ultimate pasture to which the shepherd will lead us, is to lead us to the everlasting pasture where we shall be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, what a rich comfort is therefore couched in these words. You see, what David is simply saying, and what he knew by experience, and believer, tell me if it's not so. David had confidence, you see, that everything that would happen to him, every experience that he had had, and whatever he was going through now, and whatever would come in the future, he had this confidence that every single experience would be part of the great master plan of this shepherd. Remember, dear believer, we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And that's ultimately God's goal in feeding and nourishing our souls. That's His goal in molding us through leading us through difficult ways. His goal is our spiritual growth, our spiritual prosperity, conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means, therefore, believer, that means simply this. It means there's not a single moment, and I want to emphasize that, there is not a single moment in your life that your shepherd is not shepherding you as one of His sheep. There's not a single moment that His eye is not upon you. There's not a single moment that you are not on His mind. There's not a single moment that He is not going before you. And that's why David said, I will fear no evil. So he was implying that evil may come our way. And sometimes evil can come our way in very unexpected ways. It can mean the sudden loss of a loved one. It can mean the diagnosis with terminal illness. Whatever the trial may be. But David says, I will fear no evil. Because whatever comes my way, whatever happens to me, this I know, that my shepherd is going before me. I will fear no evil. For, he says, thou art with me. So a confidence not only inspired by Jehovah's leadership, but a confidence that is rooted in Jehovah's presence. And you see, that presence of the shepherd meant so much to the sheep. So much. Because you see, very often, they wouldn't even be able to see the shepherd. Very often, as they would go through the darkest part of that valley of the shadow of death, the only thing that would let them know that the shepherd was there was his voice. They heard him speak. That's what he did, you see. He would talk them through that valley. He would just talk to them. He would call their names. That's why those shepherds, they spend so much time acquainting sheep with their voice. So that they would recognize his voice. That they would know his voice. That's why Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And they will follow me. As I said in my first message, those sheep knew their voice of their shepherd so well, they would not dream of following another shepherd. They followed their own shepherd. And it was at this time, you see, as the shepherd led them to the valley of the shadow of death, as he led them to that dangerous, forbidding place, it was especially at that time that it was of crucial importance that the sheep would know the voice of their shepherd. Because that voice would remind them that he was still there. And so it was as if during that time, you see, especially during that time, that the shepherd would train the ears of his sheep. It was especially during that time that the shepherd, as it were, would force the sheep not to look at who he was, what he looked like, but to pay attention especially to his voice. And that voice would reassure them. That's why we read in Isaiah 50 verse 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That's why in Psalm 56 verse 3, the same David says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Oh, you see, when David says, I fear no evil, he's not saying that he was never afraid. True believers sometimes are afraid. Sometimes they do tremble. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by our circumstances. But what he's saying, I do not fear it, because he says, Thou art with me. And so the sheep would hear the voice of a shepherd who was watching them more intently than at any other time. What a comforting truth that is, congregation. What a comforting truth to know that your shepherd never takes his eye off of you. In Revelation 5, we read about the Lamb that he has seven eyes. You know, the number seven in the Bible is the number of fullness. Well, that simply means to say that the Lamb of God, as the exalted King, as the exalted Shepherd, who is now at the right hand of His Father, nothing escapes His attention. And so, dear believer, your shepherd, he knows exactly what you are dealing with right now. He knows all of the circumstances of your life. He knows all of the details. He knows every struggle you're having. He knows precisely where he is presently leading you. He has seven eyes. And those eyes are always open. And absolutely nothing escapes his attention. And our problem is, my problem, is that when he leads us through such valleys, that we have the tendency to think that he has forgotten us. Because what are we inclined to do? We are inclined to judge Christ by what we see and by what we feel. And one of the things that Christ wants to teach us as our shepherd is not to go by our feelings, not to go by what we see and feel, but he wants to train us to judge him by his voice, to judge him by his word. And so during those times of trial, he wants us to remember that he is with us. Even if we can't see him, even if we can't touch him, even if we cannot feel him, he is with us because he is our shepherd. And because he is our shepherd, he will never, ever forsake us. There are times in the lives of God's people that they would say, as we read in Isaiah 40, "My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God." There are times when we go through such difficult times, when it seems as if the shepherd has forgotten us, as if it seems as if the shepherd is no longer leading us, and it seems that we are hidden from him. But then you know the same Isaiah says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child? She may forget, but he will never forget." So Isaiah is saying, it's hardly imaginable, but it's possible that a woman could forget her sucking infant. Although that's hardly imaginable, that a woman could forsake her child. But he said, God will never forsake you. And that's what Christ wants to teach us as he leads us through those valleys. He wants to train our spiritual ears. He wants to teach us to pay attention to what he says. That's why in Mark 6, when Jesus comes walking across the waves, before he stills the storm, what does he do? He speaks to them. He speaks to them. And when he speaks to them, they become calm. And he comes on board of the ship. And only after that, he stills the storm. Why? Because Jesus wanted to train his disciples. He wanted to teach them also for the future. When he would no longer be physically there, he wanted to teach them. When you come into a storm, pay attention to what I'm saying. Pay attention to my words. I will fear no evil. Oh, what confidence may we have in this shepherd. And congregation, we need to realize, in order to guarantee your safe passage through whatever valley it may be, this shepherd didn't just go into the valley of the shadow of death, but this shepherd, he went into the valley of death itself. There's no shadow in that valley. You know, when there is a shadow, there is still some light. You cannot have a shadow without light. So there is still some measure of light. We may not necessarily see it, but there is still a source of light. And that's why there is a shadow. But in that valley that he had to go through, there was no light whatsoever. Oh, he went through the valley of death itself. And especially during those 3 hours of darkness, when he hung there, utterly forsaken by his Father. He hung there, Dear believer, in your place, there the shepherd of the sheep, hung on the cross. The shepherd who had become a sheep himself. He was forsaken by his Father. Oh, what evil came upon him on that cross. Not only the rejection of the people, not only the brutal abuse that he endured by being nailed to that cross, but worst of all, he was forsaken by his Father. Oh, inexpressible what the shepherd went through. But he went through that, my dear, dear believer. He went through that. He went through the valley of death itself to merit for you a safe passage to whatever valley you will be going through. And because he was forsaken in your place, that's why you will never be forsaken when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's why, you see, our shepherd is a compassionate shepherd. You have a shepherd who knows what it's like to be a sheep. You have a shepherd who is a sheep even right now in his exaltation. You have a shepherd who knows what it's like to be forsaken of men. You have a shepherd who had to endure evil. And that's why, as the apostle says this to you beautifully, we have not a high priest, he says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thou art with me. Those are precious words. Thou, Jehovah, the creator of the universe, in the totality of who he is, that God is your God, believer. That God in Christ is your shepherd. And he says, thou art with me. And you see, when God is with us, who shall then be against us? If God is with us, oh congregation, it doesn't get better than that. If God is with you, if God is for you, you can deal with any circumstance of life. You know that one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. What does that name mean, Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. And so we see the name Emmanuel embedded in this text. That's one of the names of that shepherd. One of his names is Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the privilege of every believer, to know that God is with us. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, if God be for us, who shall then be against us? And that's why, my dear friend, if you're not one of the sheep of this shepherd, then God is against you still tonight. It's one or the other. He's for us or he's against us. There is no third possibility. And you and I, we belong to one category or the other. Oh, I ask you tonight, do you know on biblical grounds that God is for you? The only way you can know that he's for you is if you belong to one of the sheep of that shepherd. And how do I know? How do I know whether I'm one of his sheep? Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of this shepherd? What does this shepherd mean to you? What does Christ mean to you? Has Christ become precious to your soul? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Has Christ become everything to you? Is he the chiefest among 10,000 for your soul? Does your heart yearn for this Savior? See, these are the marks of the sheep of the shepherd. Those sheep, they love the shepherd. They love him. They love everything about him. They love his person. They love his word. They love everything about him. But so I ask you, do you love this shepherd? And you see, the love for that shepherd reveals itself in the fact that we follow that shepherd. Oh, I realize that as sheep, we do foolish things, but ultimately, the sheep follow the shepherd. They know my voice, and they will follow me. And so no one can claim to be a sheep and not be a follower of this shepherd. If you're not a follower, if your life, if my life does not in some measure reveal that I follow that shepherd, that I obey that shepherd, that I honor that shepherd, then I'm not one of the sheep of his flock. So I ask you again, my dear congregation, this is a matter of life and death. Are you a sheep of the shepherd? Is God with you, or is God against you? It's one or the other. He that believeth on the Son has life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. My dear friend, to have God against you, and he is, as long as you're an unbeliever, as long as you do not repent, as long as you go your own way, God is against you. And then it shall be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, my friend, do not rest until you can say that he's with you, that God is your God for Christ's sake, that Christ is your shepherd. We've seen it last week. I said it this morning already. Your life and my life can be terminated at the most unexpected moments. Suddenly, something can happen in the coming week when suddenly our life ends. And how will your life, how will my life end? Will it end? Will your and my life end as a sheep of the shepherd? Because if we're one of his sheep, he will be with us. And then finally, David says, thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. So we have seen that his confidence was inspired by Jehovah's leadership, rooted in Jehovah's presence, thou art with me, and finally bolstered by Jehovah's protection. We will first sing together, however, from Psalter. So not only were the sheep comforted by the shepherd's voice and by the shepherd's presence, but also by his rod and his staff. Those shepherds were simple folk, and they basically had two pieces of equipment with them, a rod and a staff. And though there are some differences of opinions, I simply believe it means this. He had a club to protect his sheep, especially if animals of prey would attack. And we know from David, he killed a bear and he killed a lion. And he used his club, he used his rod to kill those that would have killed his sheep. That's what a shepherd would do. A shepherd would even give his life for his sheep, as Jesus did. And so the rod was primarily for the enemies. And you see, that gave the sheep confidence. He knew that he followed a shepherd who was equipped to ward off the enemy. But the shepherd also has a rod. A rod with a crook in it. And that rod was primarily meant for the sheep. And so the rod he would use to move his sheep on, to guide them, to direct them, to nudge them, and to help them get up when they would stumble. Because often the terrain in that valley of the shadow of death was rough. There were gullies. And sometimes the sheep would stumble as they would walk through that valley. And then the shepherd would come, and with his crook he would put it around the neck of the sheep, and he would help the sheep get back on its feet. And so the rod gave the sheep the confidence that the shepherd would ward off his enemies. And that rod, the staff rather, would give the sheep the confidence that the shepherd would always be there to help him, would assist him whenever that was needed. So the rod was the weapon of defense, and the staff was the instrument of direction and correction and guidance. And so the rod and the staff together gave the sheep the comforting knowledge that his security, his safety, and his well-being were uppermost on the mind of the shepherd. And that the shepherd would use both the rod and the staff to protect him and also to guide and direct him and to uphold and to sustain him. What a comfort that was. Because if ever there was a time that the sheep were vulnerable, it was when they went through the valley, the shadow of death. Sheep are always vulnerable animals, even when they are in the green pastures. As I pointed out, if a sheep would end up in a hollow and it would end up on its back, without the shepherd, he would die. He would not be able to get back on his feet. But when they went through this valley, that's when they were especially vulnerable. And so it is with believers today. When we go through those valleys, those times of difficulty and affliction and trial, we become so vulnerable to the assaults of Satan. Satan loves to pounce on the sheep. He loves to attack the sheep precisely when they go through such valleys. Oh, then he will come. He will whisper in your ear, "Where is now your God? Where is the God in whom you trusted? What makes you believe that he cares about you, that he's guiding you, leading you, and that he's directing you?" And how comforting that is to experience that Christ intervenes and he wards off the enemy through the power of his word, and he silences him by his rod. But we're also vulnerable to stumbling in the way. Vulnerable to stumbling. Especially by giving in to unbelief. When we reason with our circumstances, rather than reasoning with the Word of God, we're so vulnerable to that. When things don't go our way, when unexpected trials come, difficulties, illnesses, accidents, business setbacks, whatever it may be, then we are so vulnerable to reasoning with what happens and to judge God by what's happening, by what we feel and see, rather than judging Him by His Word. And what does Christ do? Ah, then He comes and He puts the crook of His Word, of His precious Word, He puts it around us and He puts us back in our feet. He uses His Word to give us back our footing, to enable us to regain our footing. Oh, this is a shepherd who is fully prepared to lead his sheep. This is a shepherd who is fully prepared to deal with all contingencies. This is a shepherd who can handle whatever comes their way, who is prepared to shepherd his sheep, no matter where he leads them, no matter what the circumstances of their life may be. A shepherd who uses all of his resources, who uses all of his skill, who uses all of the tools at his disposal to take care of his sheep. That's why we read together in Ezekiel 34 verse 23 these wonderful words. "And I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and they will sleep in the woods." Oh, it is especially the work of the Holy Spirit as the comforter to comfort believers in that valley of the shadow of death. It's the Holy Spirit who sheds light upon the Word. It's the Holy Spirit who focuses our attention on the rod and the staff of our shepherd. and thereby encourages us to persevere and to remain focused on the shepherd and to follow him unconditionally to where he wants to lead us, to those better grazing grounds, to those better pastures, because he is aiming for our spiritual prosperity. Oh, this is what Jesus meant, did he not? When he said goodbye to his disciples, he said, "Lo, I am with you always." Even though he was departing from them physically, what he was saying in his final goodbye, he was saying to his disciples, "Remember, I will always be your shepherd. I will always care for you. I will always be with you. I will guide you even unto death," as we read in the final verse of Psalm 48. "Fear thou not," Isaiah 41 verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." What a privilege to be a sheep of that shepherd. Oh, dear believer, what a privilege is ours. Beyond our comprehension, the love of this shepherd, the care of that shepherd is beyond your and my comprehension. Oh, may God give us grace to embrace David's testimony, to embrace it, and to echo his words, and to say by faith, "Yea, no matter where he leads me, no matter what happens to me, no matter how my life gets turned upside down, I will fear no evil, because I know that even then he's with me. Every step of the way, his eye is upon me. He loves me. He guides me. He directs me. His rod and his staff, they will comfort me." Oh, my dear unbelieving friend, how miserable you are. You miss all of that. You may have many things going for you in this life, but if this shepherd is not your shepherd, you miss everything. You may enjoy a measure of prosperity in this life, but there's a day coming that this will all come to an end. And then what does it profit you if you have enjoyed some of the prosperity that we enjoy in this land, and ultimately in the end that you die and not having this shepherd as your shepherd? Oh, may God give you no rest, my dear friend, until you know that that shepherd is your shepherd. You should have no rest for your soul until you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. For then alone shall you not want." And dear believer, oh, take courage also from these precious words. Take courage. Your shepherd is going before you. He's leading you in the path of righteousness, even if that leads to the valley of the shadow of death. And because he is with you, you need not fear any evil, because his rod and his staff, they will always comfort you. Amen.